Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another morning devotional time in God's Word. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and this morning we are in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. If you've been a Christian for long, this is probably a familiar passage to you, and if you're a believer at all, this should be a very familiar passage to you, as it is truly one of the vital and practical passages in the New Testament, especially when we do some connecting from this passage to some other key passages in Scripture, which is what we're going to do this morning. So I am hoping and praying that God will bless our time together this morning in a powerful way to equip each of us to truly stand against the temptations that are so prevalent in the world and to see them for what they are, and to respond in the way that Jesus did, and to walk in paths of righteousness and obedience. So let's pray and ask the Lord for his help, because we need him to do that for us this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are your people, and you've called us together. You've gathered us together again on this morning for this devotional time. And Father, we just thank you for your word and for all that we're learning from your word. We thank you for the beautiful truths that have already been laid out for us in 1 John, and for many more to come. But Father, this morning, as we turn our attention to this passage here in chapter 2 of 1 John, we look to you and we ask that you would write your word on our hearts, that you would so powerfully move within us to shape us, to make us what you would have us to be, to teach us truth, to equip us to walk in righteousness and obedience. For your name's sake, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's get to our passage. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, and the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. So John has already been laying out to us that everybody sins, and yet we are called to walk in the light and not to live as children of darkness. And he's already told us in the previous verses that we looked at on Wednesday how love is central to that. Loving one another as God commanded, walking in the pattern of love. You can't hate your brother and say that you walk in the light. So just as it's vitally important to love as God commanded us, so it is vitally important that we not love as God has forbidden us, as God has commanded against. So we must love the things that God has called us to love, which is God and our neighbor and one another in the body of Christ. And we are to not love the things that God tells us not to love, which is the world and the things in the world. And just as earlier John had said, if anyone hates his brother, right, he is not walking in the light. He is not in the light. So he says here, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So it is an absolute contradiction for a believer to hate his fellow believer, and it is an absolute contradiction for a believer to love the world and the things in the world. But what does John mean by the world and the things in the world? He's not talking about the creation. He's not talking about loving trees and flowers and going on hikes in the mountains or strolling along the beach or watching a sunrise or a sunset or gazing up at the starry skies. He's not talking about the beauty of creation, because that's the handiwork of God. And so when he says don't love the world or the things that are in the world, he clarifies. And verse 16 is absolutely vital, because it is an all-encompassing description of that which is in the world, which we are not to love, which we are to hate, reject, and turn our backs on. And there are three things named here. the desires of the flesh, or older translations will say the lust of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These three things are in the world, but they're not from the Father, they're from the world. In other words, the goodness of creation was made by God, and we can rejoice and we can celebrate and we can enjoy all the good things that God has made. But the reality is that since sin has entered God's good creation, there is much that is in the world that doesn't come from the Father. It's not part of his good creation, it's from the world. And what it is twisted desires, twisted affections in three things: the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that these things are passing away. The world is passing away along with its desires, but, good news, whoever does the will of God abides forever. Now, when he says whoever does the will of God, he's obviously, again, not talking about sinless perfection. He's not saying that if you ever give in to the desires of the flesh, or if you ever give in to the desires of the eyes, or if you ever struggle with pride of life, then you're not doing the will of God and you're going to pass away along with the world and its desires. No, he's talking about a fundamental heart commitment, orientation, love of your heart. So Christians can struggle with these things, can even give in to these things from time to time, but we learn to recognize them for what they are, we learn to turn our backs on them, and we learn to not love them because they're not from God, but they're from the world. Now, I want to take us to other scripture to see more about these three things. And I want you to see that they've been in the world from the very beginning. So let's go back to the beginning, to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. And this is the entrance of sin into God's good creation, and when God's good creation became the world. And notice how Satan comes. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Let's pause there for a moment and let's see that temptation comes by doubting God's word, as Satan says, or adding to God's word, as Eve does. But let's move on. "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God.'" Pride of life. Knowing good and evil. "So when the woman saw," look at the description in verse 6 of the nature of this temptation. Look carefully with me. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Shame enters the world immediately following sin." But look back at verse 6. There are three ways that this temptation is described as appealing to Adam and Eve. It's good for food. That's the desires of the flesh, the appetite. It is a delight to the eyes. That is, it is appeals to the desires of the eyes, and that it is desired to make one wise. That's the pride of life. We see these three patterns of temptation from 1 John are there in the garden in the initial temptation. Remember, John says this is all that is in the world. These are the sinful patterns of rebellion. They are all under these three categories. Hebrews 4:15 is the next stop on our little trip through the Bible to unpack this passage. Hebrews 4:15 tells us we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. You ever struggle with that verse, if you've heard it before? Have you ever struggled with, how in the world could Jesus be tempted in every respect as we are? He didn't have the internet, he didn't have smartphones, he didn't have cars and traffic and road rage, he didn't have all these things that we deal with. Well, in every respect is saying that there are patterns of sin and that Jesus faced and defeated, yet without sin, he faced and defeated every kind of temptation, every kind of attack that Satan brings, that we find in the world. And if we go and look at the temptations of Jesus, we will see that that's exactly what happens. The temptations of Jesus are recorded for us in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. And in Luke 4, we get this. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. So this is at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. He's been baptized. He's been anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power to be the Messiah, to be the Christ, to be our representative, our head, our Redeemer. And the first test he faces is to be tempted by the devil. And notice the three temptations. He ate nothing during those days, and when they ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Satan is casting doubt upon the Word of God, because Jesus is the Word of God. He's the embodiment of the Word of God. And he says, "If you are the Son of God," just the same way he came to Eve, casting doubt upon the Word of God. Anytime there's a voice coming at you, casting doubt upon the Word of God, flee from that temptation. It is the voice of the devil. "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." This is what? The desires of the flesh. Jesus is hungry. His appetite is strong. His natural physical appetite is strong. And so Satan says, God hasn't told you that your time of fasting is over yet, but you can end it early, because if you're the Son of God, you can command this stone to become bread. He attacks him at the level of fleshly appetites first. Jesus answers by saying, man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, we are more than our fleshly appetites. We are more than our animal desires, our cravings. That's part of us. That's part of, we need to eat food and we enjoy good pleasures. We enjoy rest. We enjoy, you know, physical intimacy with our spouses. We enjoy these things. They're pleasurable, but that doesn't define us. That's not who we are. That's not how we live. It's good gifts that God's given us, but we have to keep them in their place. Next temptation. The devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." What is that? That's desires of the eyes. He showed him. He took him and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, all their authority and all their glory. He said, "I'll give it to you. It will be yours." Jesus answers and says to him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Lust of the eyes, which is materialism, covetousness, acquisitiveness, the desire to have more and more, comes from believing that having more and more is going to give us security, is going to give us significance, is going to give us comfort, is going to make our lives better, that the answer to our problems is more. And that's a worship issue. That's a trust issue. And Jesus says, "I'm going to worship the Lord God, and him only will I serve. I will not worship material things. I will not serve material things. I will receive what God has given me, and I will not desire more. And I certainly will not compromise what God has commanded in order to get more." Third temptation. He took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you to guard you. You know, the devil knows how to misquote the Bible, take it out of context, twist it for his own purposes. Many people quote scripture in order to justify the lust of the eyes, the desires of the eyes, the prosperity gospel, health and wealth. Just, and here it is. God's commanded you. You're going to be safe. Go for it. And he quotes even more, on your hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. But Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. This is pride of life. Because in the temple in Jerusalem is the centerpiece of Jewish cultural life. There would have been lots of people gathered there. This would have been a public demonstration that Jesus would have given. If he threw himself down from the temple and angels came and swept him up and let him down so that his foot wouldn't strike against a stone, this would be a public demonstration of his glory and his person as the Son of God, the Messiah. It was pride of life. Look at me, see how great I am. Jesus says, no, I am not going to put the Lord my God to the test. I am not going to test God, right? Some people say, well, name it and claim it. Name it and claim it is a way of testing God. It's a way of saying, I believe that this is what God's word says, taken out of context, twisted from its original intent, and I'm going to claim it as God's promise for me. No, what you're doing is putting God to the test. And Jesus set the pattern that you are not to do that. So we see these same three temptations, desires of the flesh, desires of the eyes, and pride of life. These are the three things that we face, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is Satan's arsenal. This is how he comes at us. These are the patterns in the world. Satisfy your appetites, lust, greed, gluttony, laziness. Just be an animal. Just give in to your cravings. Satisfy your eyes. Whatever your eyes see and desire, commercial advertising and new products and promises that are being made, give in. Go into mountains of debt. You know, be irresponsible. Go and make money in ways that are unethical so that you could have more and more and more. And then, aren't you great? Shouldn't the world know how great you are? Haven't you done great things? Aren't you capable of great things? Why doesn't the world recognize your greatness, pride of life? These are the ways that Satan comes at us all the time, and we need to respond the way Jesus responded. We need to recognize what the temptation is, and we need to respond the way Jesus responded. If it's coming after our fleshly appetites, we respond, "Man shall not live by bread alone." I am more than my animal appetites. I am made in the image of God, and I am called to obey the word of God. If it's the desires of the eyes, I will worship the Lord only, and Him only will I serve. In other words, I'm not going to trust that these things are going to give me what God alone can give me. I'm going to look to Him and trust Him and Him alone. The pride of life? Oh, don't put the Lord to the test. The Lord has good things in store for His people. We must patiently wait. And that's really the meaning of verse 17. The Lord has good things for His people, but we must patiently wait. The world is passing away, along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. If we will trust God, if we will not give in to our cravings, if we will not give in to our covetousness, if we will not give in to our pride to prove that we're great, if we will trust God, we will abide with Him forever. And in the end, we will be given more pleasure and more enjoyment, more joy than this world could ever offer, because all this world has is cheap and temporary imitations of the everlasting joy that God alone has in His very presence. So we need to trust Him and look to Him. Recognize temptation for what it is when it comes at you. Respond with the word of God and with prayer. And get out of there, because Jesus has already overcome for us, and we can trust in Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Thank you for the glorious truth of your word. Thank you for the wonderful, powerful truth that shows us the reality behind the smokescreen. The world's full of smokescreen. Wouldn't you be happier if? Wouldn't you be better off if? Don't you really want? And it's all a lie. It's all a trap. It's bait on the hook. Father, help us to see it for what it is and to turn our backs on it, to hate it and despise it, and to turn to you in love and trust and obedience. For you alone are truly good and have what is truly good for us. We praise you, Father in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, it's a little bit longer this morning, but such a great passage. So many important things to unpack. I hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning at 10:30 at the Knights of Columbus building on Newport Drive in Forest Hill. If not, we'll be back here, Lord willing, Monday morning as we continue through 1 John. Have a blessed day in the Lord.